1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 17. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you'll see the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at. Let's start reading 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 17. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Now, the Christians in Asia Minor that the Apostle John is addressing have just gone through a very difficult situation in their lives. They have been attacked by false teachers who were in their congregation. These folks were actually in the congregation, and then they started spreading these false teachings, and it caused a lot of strife and discord in the church. These false teachers then left the church, proclaiming that they were too spiritual for them. Now, no doubt this caused the congregation left behind to doubt their level of spirituality and to fear if they were right with God. Now, as a church, we tend to do the same thing. We tend to do the same thing when someone leaves our congregation. We automatically assume it was because of our lack of spirituality, when the truth may be quite the opposite. This was the case here, and why John takes great pains to assure these folks of their right standing with God by showing them what makes a person mature or spiritual in Christ. What is the characteristics of a spiritual or a mature Christian? Another problem all the strife caused was an unwillingness to open up in love to their fellow believers because they had been hurt or burned by these false teachers. You know, when you open yourself up to someone and you show them love and kindness and you try and establish a loving relationship with them, and then they ditch you or treat you wrongly or hurt you and then leave, it causes some hurt and scars. And it will cause an unwillingness for you to open up in love to others. Many people have said that, where I don't want to be hurt again, so I'm not giving my heart out to anyone else, right? You've heard that before. This is what was happening. They because of what had gone on in their church, they were reluctant to really open up and love the others that were there in the congregation. So many Christians have stopped interaction with other believers because they have had a bad experience with someone in the church. But Christian maturity cannot be achieved by limiting our exposure to people or our attempts to show them Christ-like love. A young man who drives for an exotic fish place for aquariums told a story that one of the most popular aquarium fish is shark. He explained that if you catch a shark small and confine it, it will stay a size proportionate to the aquarium that you put it in. So a shark can be 6 inches long, yet fully aged. But if you turn that same shark loose in the ocean, it will return to its normal length of 8 foot. It's pretty amazing how that can happen. Well, like sharks, if Christians limit their realm of influence, they will stunt their growth. In this passage, John points out two truths that will help us become spiritually mature. You see, we can't just put ourselves in a box. That's not what God has commanded us to do here. He has commanded us to love others, to reach out and love them, and be with other fellow believers and help them come to the love of Jesus Christ and experience that love. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to put aside fear. He wants us to put aside the hurt that we have felt before and really reach out and love others. And this is how we become spiritually mature. So I want us to take a look at this passage and see what we can focus on to reach spiritual maturity. Now, let's look at verse 17 again. Verse 17 through 19. It says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." The first thing I want you to notice is spiritually mature Christians will not be limited by fear, but empowered by the love of Jesus. Now, this passage makes clear that as the believer grows in his understanding of God's love, fear of God's judgment will fade away. So as we understand God's love for us, and as we see how much he really loves us, we will not fear his judgment or his punishment. We will come to the understanding that we are not under his judgment. He is not looking to judge us. He is looking to show us his love and his kindness, and he wants us to feel that love so that we can exhibit that kind of love to others in our congregation. Now, this passage makes it clear that as a believer grows in his understanding of love, fear of God's judgment will fade away. Now, there's two words that need clarifying here. First of all, the word perfected. Perfected doesn't mean that you're going to understand God's love perfectly. What it means is that it will be complete in your life. Or in other words, you will come to a mature or complete understanding of God's love for you. That's what it means. And so we need to understand that word, perfected. Another word that I want us to understand fully is the word fear. Fear here means scared to the point of not functioning properly. You ever hear the term, he was scared stiff? That's what we're talking about here. That kind of fear. A fear that stifles you from doing what you should be doing normally. And normally as a Christian, you ought to be able to share the love of Christ, minister and do God's will without any fear of judgment. Without any fear of judgment. That's what we need to understand here. This is not the same word or meaning as the word fear or reverence that we see we should have for God in Proverbs 9:10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That word fear means that we should have a respect or reverence for God. Okay, so it's a different word. But in the English language, it comes across as the same word, okay? But I want you to understand, the fear that we're talking about here in 1 John is a fear that hinders you or stifles you from doing what God wants you to do. So I can keep on being and what God wants me to be and living for the Lord with confidence because Jesus loves me. Because Jesus loves me, I can continue on serving the Lord, living for the Lord without fear because of His love. That is so important for us to realize. I want to read a few scriptures to you that emphasize this point. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus tells us, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." That's the gospel, folks. That is Jesus saying, "I love you so much that I died on the cross for your sins, that if you will believe in me, you will no longer be under my judgment, but have everlasting life, and you never have to fear my judgment again." That's what it's saying. Another verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, of sound mind, of a sound mind. You see the connection between love and wiping out fear? We're to not operate on fear. We're not to walk in fear. We're not to live our Christian life in fear. That's not what should be motivating us or dictating our actions. Love should be what motivates us. Love is what's supposed to dictate our actions. And when we experience that love of Jesus Christ and get freedom from condemnation, we can operate the way God wants us to. We can function properly. That's what God wants. He wants us to put aside all fear. You know, the devil wants to instill fear in you so that you will be paralyzed from doing what God wants you to. That's his goal. So if he can keep you in fear, even if it's a fear from something that doesn't exist, which is God's judgment on you if you're a believer, clearly, we're not, because the Bible has told us 3 or 4 times now that we're not. Then once we put aside that idea that we're under God's judgment, then we can start really serving God the way He wants us to. We can really start loving the way He wants us to. So we are the agent of God's love to this world. Remember what it says. It says, "As he is, so are we in this world." As he is, so are we in this world. So we are the agent of God's love in this world. That's why we can have boldness to share God's love and encourage others. That's why we can have that boldness, that confidence. Now, I want you to see the connection between mature boldness and sharing God's love. There is a connection between mature boldness and sharing God's love. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. It's just a few pages back in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 19. We're going to read verse 19 through 25. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness," notice that word boldness, "to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love, there's love, and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, notice the connection here. This is what God wants us to do. I want you to see what God wants us to do. But notice the connection between boldness and love. Notice the word boldness. It's the same word as we saw in 1 John. Because of the loving sacrifice of Jesus, we can have confidence to continue doing what God wants us to do. Now, what is it he wants us to do? What is it? Verse 24 tells us. Look what it says. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love each other. But we've got to do it with boldness and confidence, because our sins have been washed away, because we are not under the judgment. And we can do this because that's what God wants us to do. That's why we're here. We are agents of his love. He wants us to stir up love and good works in other believers. This is a mark of a mature Christian. The mark of a mature Christian is someone who is dedicated to faithfully being with other believers over and over again, so that they can stir up the love of Jesus Christ in those people and stir them up to good works, to be faithful, to do that with other people. That's what it's all about. That's why we have this cleansing from the Lord. Well, that's one of the reasons. But I want you to understand, a mark of a mature Christian is someone who realizes that going to church and getting together with other believers is not about what they get out of it, but what they give to others. We need to understand that. A mature Christian will understand that. Now, an immature Christian is going to come to church because of what they get out of it. Okay? They're going to come because when they hear the music, it inspires them. When they get around people that are kind to them, it motivates them. When they leave church, they, quote, feel good, right? And we understand that. We all felt like that at one point. But as you mature as a believer and those feelings wear off, then you have to be motivated by something else. And that something else should be God's love. God's love. The love that he used to cleanse you from your sins so that you don't have to operate in guilt, that you can serve him with confidence. And that love that you have to share with others because you know that's what God wants you to do. That's what it's all about. That's what we need to see. Please, as you understand the love of Jesus and what he has done for you, and his desire to use you for his glory, put aside the fear of judgment. Put it aside, and you will be able to serve him freely with confidence. Verse 19 of John chapter 4 says this: we love him because he first loved us. I love that. You are God's agent of love to others. Don't let fear paralyze you from doing what God wants you to do. And secondly, and this is my final point, by the way. I usually have 3 points, but today you only get two. You can Thank me later, maybe. No, just kidding. Look at verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So, spiritually mature Christians see loving fellow believers as a demonstration of their love for God. Now, all the strife the false teachers had caused left those behind with a lack of trust for one another. Love would have to be the test of sincerity. Understand, love is the test of sincerity. If we want to know if someone is a sincere Christian, we need to look at how they love other Christians. That's what we need to do. We need to look at how they love other Christians. And this is what we're told here to do in this passage of Scripture. He points it out really clearly. If someone says, I love God, and doesn't love his brother, you know that person is a liar. You know that person is not sincere. Can't be. Can't be, because that's what God says, okay? So, the mark of a mature Christian will be a willingness to love others even when they have been hurt by others. Even when they've been hurt by others. Now, when a genuine Christian hurts you, there is a solution that will restore a loving relationship with that person. I want you to understand something. That if you are in the church long enough, and you're around people and Christians long enough, someone's going to offend you. Someone is going to hurt you, okay? It's inevitable. That's why we have the scripture I'm about to show you, okay? Jesus knew that as we gathered together, and we were constantly together all the time, we were going to offend one another. Hey, the people we offend the most are the ones we're around the most, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. The one I offend more than anyone in this world is my wife. And she will tell you that. Why is that? Because I'm around her more than anyone else. I love her more than anyone else, but I still offend her more than anyone else, okay? But the fact of the matter is that if you're around Christians long enough and you're in a congregation long enough, you're going to get offended by someone. So we've got to know how in love to reconcile with one another so that we can continue to stir up love and good works with each other. Okay? So how do we do that? Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Okay? And we're going to read verses 15 through 17 of Matthew chapter 18. Okay? Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. It says this. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Now, the goal of every mature believer should be to have peace with all his fellow believers so that he can stir up love in good works in them. Okay? So when we get hurt by a fellow believer, we must go to them and tell them what they did. We must get it right. We've got to get it right. Now notice what you don't do. Notice what you don't do. You don't hold on to the hurt and let it turn to bitterness. You know, a lot of people do that. They hold on to the hurt, and then they just let it turn to bitterness. And believe me, When you got bitterness in your heart, you cannot love like God wants you to love. Just can't do it, okay? So when you get hurt by a fellow believer, we must go to them immediately and go to them alone. So you don't tell it to others before going to them, okay? Limit the damage of the offense and limit the damage that it would do to others as well. Because your goal is to have a sense of unity and love with all the believers, okay? So if we just keep it between as little people as possible, it won't do as much damage as the devil would like it to do, okay? So don't go telling others before you talk to them. Now, when you go to that person who offended you, go with the goal of reconciliation. Go with the goal of reconciliation. Be understanding. You know, they may not have seen how much they hurt you, okay? They may not have even seen how they hurt you. So go with a spirit of understanding. Give the, quote, benefit of the doubt, okay? They may not have meant to hurt you, but they may have. And in the case that they did, they need to apologize. And even if they didn't mean to, if you are a genuine Christian, you're going to ask for forgiveness. Now, if someone comes to you and that you've offended, be willing to make it right with them by asking for forgiveness. Just recently, I offended somebody, and they love me, and I love them. And they came to me and told me what it was, and we sat down and discussed it, and I asked for forgiveness, and he gave me that forgiveness, okay? And we are back to a loving, sweet relationship. You understand? That's what it's supposed to be like. That's what it's supposed to be like. And when I ask for forgiveness, I don't try to justify my wrong. If I did something wrong, I don't try to justify it. And that's what we should do. Now, if it is a misunderstanding, humbly explain your point of view in the matter, okay? Because sometimes it can be just a misunderstanding, okay? Now, if there is a refusal to get a matter settled between you and another believer, take one or two more people with you to resolve the matter. If it is established that wrong had been done and there is a refusal still to get it resolved by the offender, then take it to the church. Now, if there still is a refusal after that, and many times it never comes to this, because genuine believers will get things right one-on-one, okay? But if there is still a refusal, then this offender should be assumed that they're not a genuine believer. Now, how can I say that? Well, first, the Bible says it, and it connects with 1 John. What is the test? What is the test of genuine faith? It is if you love others. And if you love others, if you love other believers, you're going to want to reconcile with them and get things right. And if you have that genuine faith, it'll never come to this. Never. You will want to get things right. You will want to restore that relationship with that other believer so that you can continue to stir up love without any hindrance, without anything to hinder your love or the love of others around you. Okay? So, very important that we exhibit this kind of love towards one another and exercise the truths in this passage so that we can dispel or do away with any hindrances to our love for one another. Now, following this pattern will help us continue to stir up love and good works in fellow believers. That is what God wants us to do. That is His command to us today, to put aside anything that would hinder us whether it be fear of God's judgment or apprehension of getting hurt again, and love one another. That is what God wants for us to do. And that is the marks of a mature Christian believer. He will overcome fear and hurt to fulfill the command to love one another.